that a jury sits there, and if no mention is made of the breathalyzer, they think to themselves, well, this must be a pretty crappy case because the state doesn't have a breathalyzer. Well, when it's not there, and we can't explain why it isn't there, it hurts us.
Well,
they expect it to be there.
I just believe that there's nothing you can do to a drum that's too bad, including branding. You know?
How do you feel about adult
investigation? Oh, no.
Okay. Call the meeting to order, May the 30th. Present for the purpose of the forum are Senators Graham, Tillian, Ziegler, and Holman. We have two documents to present to the committee this morning, or this afternoon. One by Larry and one by Steve. Does this have committee distribution before?
No, Senator, it was only distributed to yourself. Should I begin? The handout that I have prepared, to be distinguished from Dan's handout, it's the first page says in the top chapter 16, Parties to Crime, is accompanied with a very short memorandum to Senator Holman, in which I outline how the chart is set up. What the chart does is discusses the 141 amendments that have been made to the criminal code by the Senate Judiciary Committee. If you look on the first page of the chart, the way the chart is set up, first column lists the amendment number, the second column is the section number of the statute, third column would be the title of the statute, fourth column would be the change that was made by the Senate Judiciary Committee. And what I have done here is I've referred in all instances to the House version, the House Committee substitute, and the specific page number and line number of the change. And then in the final column, I have a brief explanation of why the change was made. Now, the 141 amendments that were made to the code, 67, in my estimation, are technical changes. And those are amendments which simply add clarity or improve the organization of the code, but do not make substantive changes. Now, those amendments are signified by the letter T underneath each number. So, for example, amendments 1 through 6 are all technical, and there's a T underneath it. The remaining 74 amendments are substantive. Now, I just think, in terms of just a summary of the chart, I think there are four main areas of changes that were made by the Senate Judiciary Committee. The first one was in classification of crime. I think in about 8 instances, crimes were classified higher. In about 2 or 3 instances, crimes were classified lower. Second area of major changes was in the firearm offenses. I think there were 10 changes there. Third major area was in kidnapping, and we essentially rewrote the kidnapping provisions and custodial interference provisions. The final area was in sentencing, and I think that rather than attempt to try to write out every change that were made to the terms of imprisonment. On page 36 of the chart, I show the comparison between the Senate presumptive sentencing approach and the House presumptive sentencing approach, and it's very similar to the chart that I was using during the presentation. And just to emphasize how the numbers are set up, if the numbers above the broken line on page 36 are these numbers from the Senate. I'm sorry, the numbers above the broken line are from the House Committee substitute. The numbers below the broken line are from the proposed Senate Committee substitute. All numbers in circles are presumptive sentences, and I think it's a useful way to see the differences between the two versions. Finally, I guess this is really the fifth main area of change, is that we simply responded to a great number of concerns about the criminal code that were raised by police organizations and by the Department of Law. And it's hard to put a specific percentage estimate on what percentage of changes are responded to here, what percentage of changes are solved. But I think it's pretty close to 80% of the changes that have been suggested to us. So I hope the chart I prepared is self-explanatory, and if there are any questions as to any change, I'd be happy to go into more detail at this time or at any other time later.
Any questions or concerns?
This is very helpful. I'm sure that will be more helpful.
I should point out that both Dan's chart and my chart were done independently. We did not work together on a chart. So he may emphasize something that I did not emphasize.
We have these insufficient numbers to distribute them to the manager's desk for?
They will be ready. I could have them in sufficient numbers, so it will be ready at 10 o'clock, time of the session.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? No.
Is that the request to have them on?
Yes.
Okay. Would it? Would you like me also to include a copy of the House Committee substitute with it, since the...
They have that document in there.
Yes.
We'll have that.
Okay, fine.
Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The document that I submitted to the committee is somewhat similar to Barry's. It has three columns. The first column shows the amendment that was proposed by the Department of Law by page and line reference to the House Committee substitute. The middle column is a brief explanation as to the reason for the proposed amendment, and the last column is an indication of what this committee did. And you'll note I counted through there, 89, for example, of the suggestions we made were adopted, and I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of as we proposed them. Another 10 to 12 were adopted with some modification, and approximately another 10 or 12 were not adopted. And so Barry is, with respect to the amendments we proposed, he's at least correct in characterizing what this committee did as responding in the case of 80% of the recommendations we made. All of them are ones that are familiar to the committee that we've gone through, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions that the committee has about the department's feeling about the bill as a whole at this point, or about the document I just provided you with.
How does the department feel about the bill as a whole?
The department feels that this committee has made a substantial improvement in the bill as a whole, that we feel that you've been most responsive to the concerns we've brought to your attention, both from a prosecution perspective and from the perspective of the law enforcement community in the state, and feel very good about the bill to the point center.
Okay, I
through
the Chairman, I've found myself to call Chief Barkley and tell him how it was up to get a copy of the board to see if they have any proposed changes. Might be a good idea if you and Lord Mary would give him copies of your resumes or have him send some
I'd be happy to, Senator. We would have done that.
So would he, I'm sure.
We would have done that, but I thought that the committee would want to have an opportunity to go through it one final time before we did so.
We should get it to him today.
I would, by the way, Mr. Chairman, like to thank the committee very much for its willingness to allow me to work with it on a daily basis in considering this bill. and in the courtesy you've extended to myself and the administration on this particular bill. Very appreciative.
Nice speaker, appreciate
you. He's not present.
Rob was supposed to bring in the health and committee to see if there are any that the committee members would like to have scheduled for consideration by the committee. Very the same thing for Dan's document. Will that be
sure?
I'll go to Barclay too. Might be a good idea, Dan, if you could drop a copy of those documents in the mail to Chief Canivers.
I'll do so.
You would purchase
on the desk too?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that right there.
I'd like to say I think this judicial committee has much better grasp of the issues than the House.
Thank you. I served with Howard Pollack and Jim.
You may comment about his grasp, but most often about his reach.
We should identify this material.
Be a lot better.
Coming from
time on the vote.
Senate Judiciary Committee by Barry.
I was just going to call and make love for my wife when I ended up down there.
Would you go all the way to Halibut Cove?
Yeah. I only ran boat one afternoon. Delivered a bunch of papers. He unloaded all those along and to him off in the middle of the difference is that those are going to vote for Jay. I'll pick up again and bring back.
Yeah, I think they were down.
There was one group camping at the mouth of the town that beat my daughter. We've got one boat out. And the weather's been just like here. It's been sunshine for a few hours during rain, and I've got a boat up. We're just sandblasted. They have to go back and sandblast it again. They had one rusted it up. It started raining right after they got a sandblast. That's all streaks of rust. I had to go back and sandblast it again when they fired. Get the primers on. I have five of them.
The junker sitting out here is the old one. What happened to your junker that was out here?
It's right down on the dock. It's a Coast Guard dock. All painted.
They need to get it all picked up.
A whole lot of time. There's a little John must have had a people. Joyriding thing was,
put in a bill for that, and we were told, well, that's taken care of in the criminal court.
Well, ours changed, it's still a misdemeanor. Under certain conditions.
So are you going back to the
damage results or if the car is gone for a prolonged time?
What about the second or first hand?
Oh, yeah, it gets a lot rougher.
Yeah, that's the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, here's your. But you can look her up. I was just looking at them a moment ago. But we broke down what's joyriding versus, in other words, we expanded car theft to where if you parked it where a person couldn't reasonably find it, that was car
theft. I don't extend it to everybody.
Or if people don't have faith in being able to. And we made it fairly severe anyway.
There's a lot of railroads.
I've had a number of very nasty fights over morticians holding some of my constituents. Yeah, because the trooper orders an autopsy, they fly them to Anchorage. The law states they must embalm if they kill over 24 hours. Here's a widow getting the corpse back. She can't afford the embalming, let alone the casket. And they don't turn over the body, and it's a very tough time, you know. Faces happen.
They indicted a guy in Anchorage a few years ago, Green, for that very thing, didn't they?
Well, he was indicted.
No, he was double shuffling coffin.
Right.
That's a standard. That's a
problem. I don't know if I
said it right. Now it's an art studio. Now it's an art studio. His old place. Cemetery.
Manufacturing, possessing, transporting, selling, or
most of which were responsive to technical concerns raised by the I think that probably the most significant change this committee made, even though it didn't, that didn't come out to us, but it's sufficiently different to make a, I think, substantial difference. I think that the changes made by the committee substantially improved the sentencing structure set out in the House bill. The structure does vary a lot. Basically a version that I proposed, and what it does is it tries to provide the judge with, the sentencing judge himself, with sufficient flexibility to deal directly with serious offenses across the board, okay? And at the same time, it responds to legitimate concerns raised by certain people that some of the presumptive lower class felons were excessive in terms of A, what people should get for those offenses, and B, what people are getting today for those offenses as a statistical average.
Now, wait,
the income
will increase
all of
them.
No, here's what it did, for example. On a C felony, there is no presumption for those offenses. You recall, I lost that battle. I raised it here. I still think that the best sentencing scheme would be a comprehensive one that applies this principle to presumptive sentencing once you accept it as an idea, a good idea, across the board. But I think that the scheme adopted by the Senate at least rationalizes the fact that first offenders are left out. Okay? So a C felony, the first offense is included. The House has set the maximum 3 years. The Senate, the maximum for a second and third offense is 6 years. So they had different statutory maximums depending on whether it was the first offense or second or third offense that could be imposed no matter how bad the offense was. Now, my argument on this was that by doing so, that basically places more importance on the old offense than it does on the present offense, the offense for which the defendant is being sentenced. I contend that the statutory maximum should be the same across the board for all offenses, whether it's the first, second, or third. Because I think that recognizes that the most important consideration in sentencing is the present offense and its circumstances. A legitimate consideration is whether or not there is a prior history of criminal offense, but that should not be given more importance than the circumstances. What you see is in the Senate version on the C felony, a first offender in a really aggravated case could get as much as someone with two priors. If it's a really aggravated case, the presumptive term stayed the same on the second. I went down in here on the third, and for both second B's and second and third C's, there's a sort of a recognition built upon that these offenses in terms of their facts, are sufficiently different and involve varying levels of conduct that it's not inappropriate that if a defendant is able to establish by clear and convincing evidence mitigating factors, the judge have the flexibility to go from the presumptive term down to a suspended sentence, down to zero. And that's what this did. Now, by the same token, the Senate, that would be, I suppose, a more lenient provision. The fact that the statutory maximums are increased for first offenders is, a cover.
Dan himself had the discretion to go all the way.
That's right.
See, that the House used to have a situation where the second felony conviction would get you, you know, 10 years or something. If you establish aggravation, you go to, which lets you get to the first, which is ridiculous. So I said, you know, one of my arguments for having for first offenders is that once you have it for second and third, put these kind of limits on, you automatically force the judge to try and figure out what you would have done if you would have done it. So what you're going to have is you're going to have 20 or 22, however many Superior Court judges there are, result the sentencing scheme for first offenders unless you do something like that. And I think that what the Senate did basically takes care of that, because it has built into it a recognition that when you're dealing with an aggravated case, the circumstances are such that it's appropriate for the judge himself to be able to aggravate it.